I was wondering, what am I going to do with this text? Jesus' baptism is one of those tricky things that has a number of interpretations, some of which clash with each other, some of which are kind of ridiculous, and some of which are quite compelling. So what do I do? Do I somehow go and do a theological study on the baptism of Jesus? Well, I suppose I could, but the question is, what's up with this baptism? What makes this baptism special? Baptism seems to cause problems, or at least it can. In other letters of Paul, there are signs of dispute over who baptized whom, who was in charge of this. In our own time, there's a dispute over who should get baptized and when and by whom and who knows what else. My dad was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. His father wasn't a church-going person really at all, but his mother at least somewhat. And so he was baptized as an infant in the Lutheran church. And then when he came to a meaningful faith in his early or late 20s, much like I did, he thought, well, that's... I wasn't really there. So he got baptized again as a Lutheran. That's the church he was attending at that time. And then as a part of his relationship with my mother, he ended up in another church that didn't really believe in anybody's baptism at all except their own, so he got baptized again. So my dad was baptized 3 times. So I figure if any of you haven't been baptized, you can probably have one of his, because I think it probably will take care of that if you need to. And how we get baptized is all over the place, too. There's sprinkling, and there's full immersion, and there's adults only, and there's children and all that. And so there's all sorts of things that are going on, none of which help us answer, why did Jesus get baptized? And there are many reasons for Jesus to get baptized. And Jesus didn't get baptized for himself. We sometimes get hung up on this, the statement that John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And so we think that, okay, repentance means repenting of sin. Well, yes and no. That's definitely one of the meanings of repentance. Another meaning of repentance is to turn around, is to stop going in this direction and go in that direction. And when we think of it as sin, we're thinking, of course, we're going in a completely wrong direction, so we need to do a 180-degree turn and go in a new direction, a better direction. But repentance is often, in Scripture, used just as a change, as turning, as going no longer in one direction, but in another. And so perhaps that's one of the reasons why Jesus got baptized, because before this, Jesus was just like everybody else. There was nothing special about him, per se, at least not that we know of. Yes, he showed some of his acuity with spiritual things when he was 12, with the people and the leaders in the temple, who were quite surprised at how much he knew. But on the whole, those silent years of Jesus from 12 to now, to his baptism, we don't know much about what he did. And our assumption is, and I think it's a good one, is that he was being a dutiful son to his parents and doing what it was that all young Jewish men of the time did. Youth in Judaism at that time went a little bit longer than now. Generally speaking, if you were 25 or 26, and it didn't really matter how brilliant you were still too young for people to pay much attention to. You know, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but they just thought, you know, at 25... what do you have to say that we really need to hear? And when I think about it and hang around with 25-year-olds, I have a bit more sympathy for that than I did when I myself was 25. And so in that period of time, part of what Jesus was doing was building the credibility of a good son, of a good person, of someone who understood the responsibilities of being a Jew and all that went into that. And so by the time he got to be 30, which was about the time that rabbis started to exercise their teaching abilities, their teaching responsibilities, Jesus comes and becomes baptized. Well, as I was looking into this, and I think I might have shared this last time we talked about Jesus' baptism using this text in particular, John Chrysostom, one of the ancient church fathers, has some very interesting things to say, some a little odd. John felt that one of the things that Jesus did is he got baptized for the benefit of the water. And you think about that, well, that's kind of silly. Or is it? Up until this point, and even beyond, the sea, the notion of water, untamed water, not water in a pot, not water in a pond, but water, rivers, seas, oceans, were symbols of chaos. And they were terrifying to not just the Jewish people, but to everybody. But the only people who made use of the water in an ongoing way were the Philistines, who were traders up and down. Assuming the Philistines are the Phoenicians, there's some argument about that too. But still, hardly anybody had anything to do with the water. Water was never good when it was on its own. And so John said, Jesus, among the many other things that he did as a representative of God in the sense of being God while being human, Jesus redeemed the water. And I don't know that that's a huge reason, but I think of that often. When I think of our frequently far too limited view of Jesus, we get this idea that Jesus came for individual human beings and that's it. But when we look at Scripture, we see that Jesus came to redeem the earth, came to bring new hope, a new reality of God, not just to individual human beings, but to people, to cities, to countries, to all of these things, the language that we see all over the place, particularly in the book of Revelation, confusing as it sometimes is that Jesus came for all things. Richard Rohr talks about how the universal Christ is just that, the Christ for everything and everyone, because Jesus cares about everything and everyone, because according to our first scripture text that Holly read for us, Genesis 1, God created all of this on purpose. None of it was just an afterthought. And so Jesus came for that, to begin the process of helping people understand that the created order wasn't scary in the way they thought it was. When we think about it that way, when we think of this whole idea of baptism involving water in a river, it becomes an even more significant and symbolic action. Our best understanding of the baptism of that time was some kind of immersion, whether John sort of held you and dropped you under or put his hand on your head. Our understanding is that baptism at that time took place in rivers and things, so they were deep enough for people to get entirely out of the water. And Jesus submerges himself in this water, this symbol of chaos and sometimes even evil, and comes out. And according to Mark's gospel, a dove and a voice say that this is a good thing. When I think of all the things that Jesus' baptism can mean for us, one of the ones that has become more comforting to me over the last several years at least, is that Jesus' baptism brings the divine presence into the middle of all of our stuff, even the things that scare us, even the chaos that many of us have gone through and that all of us went through in the pandemic when nobody knew what was happening. We didn't know who we could believe. We didn't know what was true and what wasn't. Jesus was there in the middle of all of that, in the same way that Jesus allowed himself to be baptized in this symbol of chaos, in this symbol of all the things that don't work out well. We then have Jesus saying, no, I'm here, part of this. I rise out of this to the affirmation of God. This is my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased, at least according to this translation. No matter how we look at it, Mark's gospel records the affirmation of God to Jesus. There are lots of symbols in the Bible that are hard for us to grasp. The hardest one for me, or the most difficult one for me to believe I missed, was that whole notion of the rainbow after the flood. We talked about last time we had that text. The bow, a weapon of war, a weapon of destruction, a weapon of killing. It has no other purpose than that. God turned into a symbol of God's love. And the bow was pointed not at any human, not at any animal, but to the heavens. Perhaps a foreshadowing of Jesus taking all of the evil the world can do upon himself. himself. Baptism is another one of those symbols that I think we miss some things, at least we potentially miss some things, because for us, water is not a symbol of chaos, and it's not a frightening thing, at least not for most of us. Some people are afraid of water, and I'm sorry for that. I don't like water, and I'm not afraid of it. I can even swim. I just don't like being wet. I've often said if there's some way to get clean without water, I'd be quite happy to sort of step into that, whatever it might be. But that's not because water is a terrible thing for me. It never crossed my mind that water would be a terrible thing until I started to pay attention to how often the sea, the ocean, how often waves are bad things, particularly in the Old Testament, which of course is the only holy scriptures Jesus had, the only holy scriptures that John the Baptist had. So if Jesus could say, I can move into chaos and come out unscathed, and not just unscathed, but come out with the affirmation of God, perhaps that's one of the messages of Jesus' baptism that we sometimes miss, because we just don't have that same context. There are lots of things we can talk about in the baptism of Jesus, and we have in other years, and I'm sure we will again, and it comes up, well, at least once a year on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And this year, I want us to just think a little bit that maybe what Jesus was saying by being willing to step into baptism, to say that it is okay to be in the middle of things that you don't want, because Jesus has been there too. That's one of the things that we get with Jesus. That's one of the things that the author of Hebrews is at such pains to point out. That in Jesus we have an advocate, we have a high priest, we have all of those images who has experienced everything we have. Not in detail, as I say often, but in the idea of being in the middle of chaos, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of all of those things. And I think maybe one of the reasons Jesus got baptized was to let us know that this is what was coming. That Jesus was going to demonstrate that he could go through anything that might frighten us, that we might think is bad, and come out with the affirmation of God the Father. Does that mean our baptism was exactly the same? Well, no. Our baptism was different. But we can still take from Jesus' baptism the sense of Christ with us no matter what. And the reminder when we think of our baptism, the vows that were taken on our behalf or that we took ourselves, depending on when we got baptized, was to say that, among other things, we believe that Christ is with us always, no matter how awful, no matter how frightening, no matter how good. That the Jesus who loves us enough to come to this earth to be like us is with us always and has known what we are going to go through, has experienced it, and is there as a presence of comfort. I'm grateful Jesus got baptized. I don't always understand all of it, but this year, this notion is very comforting to me, and I hope it is to you. But Jesus got baptized that we might know that even before we get to the middle of our chaos, Jesus was there first and came out okay. Amen.